Welcome back to the Action Sit Rep. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Deb.
And we are so excited to have one of our very favorite people back on the podcast to talk about Warrior, Jason Tobin. Thank you for coming back to chat with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's I was saying to you earlier, this is actually my first podcast since season three. So I thought it was the appropriate podcast to be on. Since I think you guys were literally the first podcast I was on. After season one, after Kelsey did me in episodes 1, 2, and 3, and 4,
yeah,
and then turned her around in episode 5.
Yeah. I know. Well, we like to consider ourselves the unofficial official Warrior podcast, right?
So, exactly.
Glad to have you back and get to actually talk about season 3, or I guess all seasons now.
All seasons, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
which is. I'm really glad we actually get to talk about it because this this season was, well, one, as a whole, what a ride for Warrior. What an adventure. But personally, like, it felt very different, I guess, in terms of who sort of got spotlighted. Who got felt like more, we saw more emotionally from. I think some of the characters that like in the past had played bigger roles sort of took a step back. Some that were, you know, it took a step forward. But what we did like was Young June. I think we saw some really big emotional stuff that we had not seen in the past. Dealing with his dad, dealing with feeling betrayed. How was season 3 for you sort of like as a whole? And then we'll get to like the whole personal journey of like the whole up and down of Warrior.
Yeah.
But like just shooting and like, I guess as a character, how was it?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, first of all, it was a dream come true to be back shooting Warrior because, you know, can't forget that between season 2 and season 3, we had a pandemic. You know, we had a pandemic, we had a cancellation. And then when we were finally renewed, it was a good 18 months before we got the news till when we could actually shoot it. And so just a lot of life happened. And if you remember at the end of season 2 with the riots in Chinatown, in many ways, I feel like those pandemic years for us must have been as heavy and as on us in real life as it must have been for people who lived through that riot. It was just it just you know, took us, you know, for a tailspin. And so I feel like in many ways season 3 was the right season to come after that. Like, you know, we were all different, all of us were different, you know, as actors. And you know, we had just gone through this, like I said, we all had, you and everyone that's listening to this went through this pandemic, and so it brought that. But yeah, it was a different season. It was a dream come true to go back to it. It was maybe the first day on set was a bit like, whoa, what am I doing here? One thing that the pandemic kind of left me with was this sort of time displacement or time, like disassociative feeling of the time. And so like, yeah, being back there, I'm like, wait, here I am again in this suit, but I've just lived through this thing, and but the sets are the same, but we're in a different location. And so, yeah, there was this sort of, you know, odd feeling. But then, you know, quickly, you know, we got into the swing of things, and we, you know, we just went through, you know, got through it. But, you know, each season has its own thing. I think one thing I've learned was, you know, kind of like children too, like you think your next child's going to be just like the last one. It's like, no, they're individuals. You know, and seasons are individuals too, and they have their own storyline, obviously within the script and the story of the show, but also within the story of the people and how we get along and do things. That being said, everyone got along great, but you know what I mean? Like, there's new cast, new crew,
right?
People in new positions. But I think the attitude that we all kind of went in with was, hey, we've been canceled once, so we might as well.
What do we have to lose?
What do we have to lose? Give it our all. Make sure that we, you know, if this is the last one, then, you know, we do it, we go off on our own terms. And you know, we can go into the season four, talk about that later, but you know, that's all up in the air. And you know, whether that we go again or not, at least I feel okay. I did the best I could with the time I was given, with everything I was given. And I feel like we mostly feel like that. And if it ends now, then I mean, what more can I do? It's like I literally gave it my all, you know? So in that regard, I do feel like it is a weird season, but it's a post-pandemic season, you know, like it's a great season, weird season, different. But I don't know. I'm actually curious to see what you guys think, since because you kind of preface this with like, you know, some certain characters said, you know, maybe didn't go as deep with them, or maybe certain characters were brought to the fore. I mean, how did you feel about season three? And maybe I can riff on anything that you have to say.
Well, it was hard to get back in the swing the first few episodes. It was like, you know, I think I just came into it so like so suddenly, and then it took a while to feel like we're back in the rhythm of the show. I thought the new cast members are phenomenal. I thought they were just so good. The new characters, I really like them. It was another situation of, oh my God, how can we have 40 new people on this show? How do we figure out who
It's
all
a
these
big
people
cast.
are? And yet we did. And they were all super important and all, you know, played unbelievably well by everyone. And then all of a sudden, so it was just like this slow buildup and angst. And then that horrifying finale,
It's
oh,
decimated.
horrifying emotionally. It was an amazing finale, but oh my God. Oh no.
What a finale.
Wow.
I feel it. Kelsey?
Well, I was just gonna say, I think that especially in the beginning, I think we had some concerns the first couple of episodes that we were like, did the move from like Cinemax to HBO, was there gonna be some sort of issues with like, because Cinemax did action so well and did the sort of like that boiled down, and not that it wasn't like enough budget or whatever, not some like indie show, but like this is what you've got, make it work, you know, was so great. And then was there some kind of now you're gonna add counterfeiting, now you're gonna add all this stuff, and it was like, is this too much? Are we losing some of the core cast stories by adding this whole other thing on top of it now? And some of the people, like, it just felt, you know, I think one of the ones we talked about was like Big Bill, like Kieran. It felt like it took over half of the season to even like really bite into much of his like character. But on the other hand, like we said with like Young June, we saw so much more of the emotional side of him, which was really phenomenal. So it was like it was a shuffle, you know, and it took a couple of episodes to kind of settle. And I think that probably had a lot to do with the big break and the pandemic and the sort of world just doing that. And then once it kind of settled, it was like, okay, this, you know, it was good. And then of course, then it's like, now it's the writer's strike, and now it's, which of course all needed to happen, but it was like, oh, and now it's gonna move, and now we can just hope and pray that, you know, it gets picked up again. But God, this show deserves so much better.
I know, it's so weird. So just to touch upon what you just said there about you know, is it going to change going from Cinemax to being a Max production? And I would say twofold. I would say that like nothing changed in that regard in terms of production, in the sense that, you know, we basically for the most part hired the same people, right? We still have the same people creating it and acting in front of it, and mostly the same people behind the camera. Obviously, even within seasons, during in the same network, people that change, mm-hmm. right? So everything was like sort of basically the same, you know, whereas I would say the change, you know, with Max was, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this in public, but basically, you know, at the very last minute, right before production, Max and, you know, whoever basically said, you know, we need to cut out X amount of dollars from the show to bring it, to tighten up the budget. And as a result, certain characters who were supposed to be back in season three, their storylines were, if not cut out, postponed for season four. And I think you guys know who I'm talking about, right? There's certain characters that people are like, where are they? Well, they were there. But HBO literally a week before we started shooting said, we need to cut out, you know, whatever it was, $2-3 million. And so a certain storyline that was going to be covered within like three episodes, really cool storyline too, was like, you know, basically axed. And those actors had to, you know, imagine how devastating it was, you know, for them. You know, they were literally on their way to Cape Town to film.
Oh my god!
And then they cut that budget out. And so, you know, and then as us as the cast who were on the ground, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, wait, you know, we've just come back from this pandemic. We've risen from the dead, and now the first bit of news is, you know, they're cutting the budget again, and we were cutting out a whole, you know, storyline that would kind of answer. And so that storyline is not dead in the sense that, like, you know, the plan was, okay, well, maybe we can move this storyline to season four, but as you now know, we may not get a season four. So, you know, it's funny because when I go online or I hear people say, hey, what happened to, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, I can't believe we don't know what happened to them. It's like, well, you know, it's like I get it, because we feel the same way, you know? we're like there was a really cool story that, you know, the writer's room they cracked that story open and they wanted to deal with it properly. And you know, it wasn't a 10 episode arc, but it was I think it was like a 3 or 4 episode arc for these characters to come back. And I don't know. So to answer your question, like, it was the same team coming back for season three, but Max did say we need to tighten our bootstraps right before we started filming. And it is what it is. I mean, we've always worked with a tight budget. It is TV. But yeah, probably a lot of things I should probably not say.
Hey, it's on Netflix now. You're fine.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. So,
and doing well anyway. On Netflix. So
yeah, doing really well. So it's currently on Netflix and it's on HBO. So it's streaming on both platforms. So I think, like, when you look at the Netflix numbers, you really actually have to tally up the numbers from both streaming services mm-hmm. to get a better indication of how it's doing. And I think when you do tally the numbers up, then I think we're doing, you know, exceptionally well. But whether that means anything, you know, in this business, sometimes it's numbers, it's, you know, algorithms, sometimes it's, you know, just someone's opinion at mm-hmm. one of these places that can turn the tide, you know. It's literally, we're dealing with people, you know. It's like, oh, you like that show? Okay, great. All right. You know, like, it's, and I think we've kind of beaten this message, you know, through to the fans, but it just comes down to viewership. People, mm-hmm. Nothing beats word of mouth, you know. It was a pity that we didn't get to do any advertising or PR when season three came out, but you know what? Nothing trumps word of mouth. So We'll see. Exactly. I mean, it's not dead yet. It's still there's still murmurs and things being said behind closed doors. So who knows? You never know. This could be one of those things where, like, you know, 10 years from now, we maybe get a movie or something, or we get a call tomorrow and we got season four and five. I'm so confused by this business now that I have no idea.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I was very confused when they announced that. Yeah. I had been waiting for the announcement for season four because it was running in the, like, top shows on Max for so long. And so when they were like moving to Netflix, I was like, wait, what? Why?
Yeah, I know.
What? Like, this is, it's such a unique show. It's a phenomenally produced, phenomenally acted. Like, it's,
yeah.
And you're just, what?
Yeah. Why? It's baffling.
After you
it's
pay baffling. All that money to bring it back?
Yeah, that's what didn't make sense. It's like, why it would made, you invest made. That in resurrecting it?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then to come up with this deal where we're giving all the episodes or selling all the episodes to Netflix, but we're not really turning the rights over. So
yeah, it's so strange. It's a very strange time. And if you've been following what's been going on at whatever you call it now, Warner Discovery or whatever it's called, and the way it really doesn't feel like they're in the business of telling stories. Maybe I'm sort of looking through rose tinted glasses, but I seem to remember and feel that studios in the past were in the business of telling stories. They wanted to make movies for, whereas now you're this corporate behemoth that wants, shares. And so the way they act shows or green light shows or whatever, or even just the schedule. I mean, as an audience member, what audience member likes to watch a show where the seasons are spread out over 7 years or 8 years? Like, no one does that. There was a reason why TV before was you got a season and then they went on hiatus, they came back because you wanted this sort of regularity, right? Like you want to go back to your favorite restaurant as often as you can or whatever. Whereas now it's like, it's so bizarre. I actually even question why I even bother signing options anymore. Like if I do a TV show now, like why even sign an option? Why be held down and then just wait for you to then like not make the show for, or something? It's like, it's pointless. Just hire me again if you want to, if you choose to make the show again. I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to sound cynical, but like, it's just,
no, it's a very weird time. It has fundamentally changed how we get entertainment because you don't have any, it is just all about the shareholders now.
Yeah.
Yes, it was about money before, but they're presenting that we make our money by making decent art and getting it out there and hopefully great art. But at least decent. We have some loyalty to what we're creating that we give it a chance to grow. That is absolutely dead. There is no commit.
Some of the decisions are, I'm thinking about Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where you get like 3 years in between a season. And I'm like, they're kids. Yeah. And they're going to be like 7 years old. And they're like, they're one grade higher. And I'm like, what? They're going to be like 25 pretending to be like 15.
It's so strange. I don't understand it. I'm like, it's weird because I remember for a long time, like, most actors, if you ask them that, they want to be on in a movie. And then at some point it changed where like, TV became, we went through this golden age of TV again and great shows and, and want to be, but now I'm like, it's like being on a movie again. It's like I do one season, there's no guarantee to be another season, so it feels like more like being in a movie where you just kind of job to job,
and the seasons are so short that you don't have much time to relax into it or
and then if the season's so short and there's no guarantee, then I'm like maybe I'm gonna move forward with no options. No options going forward, I don't know. It's so weird. But yeah, I feel like it's a fundamental disrespect for the audience because, it's hard to get into a show that you know that's not going to continue or there's only one season and then you're left on a cliffhanger. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to turn this into a big moan, about everything, but I think I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. And a lot of people are on this page. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't used to look at how many seasons a show was before I started watching it. But now as I'm trying to find something on a streaming platform, it's like, okay, this sounds cool. How long was it on? Am I only going to get eight episodes and then wish there were more? Yeah. Or Was it intended to only be episodes? Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Well, when Jack Lothian, when he was shopping out his show, and he's like, oh, we're like, I don't know if Apple's gonna pick it out or like Netflix. And I was like, please not Netflix, please not Netflix, please not Netflix. I'm like, they cancel everything after two seasons. Like, it does not matter how well it's doing. Yeah. It's gonna get canceled after two seasons. Yeah. Like, everybody knows it's the two, unless it's Stranger Things, it's gonna get canceled after two seasons. Like, yeah.
Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket, right? Because like you said, with Warrior, great reviews, excellent ratings from fans and the audience, and we're not even that expensive comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
We were unique.
You're
and
timely.
Unproblematic. Exactly. And still, so I'm like, oh God, this business is so confusing. I remember it's being naive, because I remember even when I was a young actor, I remember thinking like, you have to conduct yourself well on set and, you know, with people and in the business. And I certainly still, believe in that. However, I sometimes look around myself around me and think, oh man, all these people who are, maybe not the nicest people, working all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, actually it's naive to think that, like, actually you can get away with being a total jerk in life and still like succeed. There's many cases in out there. So I guess maybe that, it doesn't matter whether your show is a hit. It doesn't matter whether you got a hit show, is doing well number wise it doesn't matter whether the critics love it, whether the audience love it, you could still be canceled. So mm-hmm. It's such a confusing time, because yeah, we'll see whatever happens. But on a personal level, I think, like, as an actor, I'm like, wow, of course I'd love to play Young June again. Of course I'd love to finish this story. But also I think, like, well, will I ever get the opportunity to even play such an awesome role again? Because as an actor, this could just be a stepping stone to other things, or this could be the peak. You never know in this business. You it's such a funny time, but you just got to be grateful for what you have, I mean, I'm certainly better off now having done Warrior than
we all are.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Do you think that the cast, like, it having been such a roller coaster with, having filmed, two seasons sort of back to back, and then this like long, and then canceled, and then brought back, and then canceled again. If it did get picked back up again, do you think that would there be like hesitation on people's part to sort of sign back up on the roller coaster?
The short answer is no. I think everyone is. I don't know if this is unique, but definitely on our show, everyone would love to come back. Everyone would love to. I think that's also apparent, because right now all this PR and promotion that we're doing for season three or season four, whatever you want to call it, on for Netflix right now, that's all done by us. Orchestrated or organized by any PR team at any studio. We're basically making up for the time that we lost during the strikes. We still stand behind, the show that we made. We want to finish it on our own terms. That being said, I don't think it's healthy for any of us to sort of pine and hope for it and sort of, we can only do so much.
Right.
After that, it's out of our hands. It's numbers, it's viewership, it's whoever's sitting behind a desk somewhere. It's whatever conversations are going on behind closed doors. So I think we'd all jump at the opportunity to go back. But I think, we also know that, like, we have to accept that this also could be the end. And as an actor, that's always the case, right? Mm-hmm. It's like an audition, once it's done. And actually, to be honest, that's one of the reasons why I haven't done many podcasts or many interviews, just because, like, it's a bit too painful, It's like, yeah. really, yeah. I've got to, you know, I love this show so much. The experience, the work, the people, what it means. And so, like, even with these, you know, talking to you guys, like, I'm going to pick and choose who I speak to about it, because going forward, I need to also kind of like put it to bed, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And yeah. move on. And if it comes through, great. You know, I'm not saying it's over, but I'm also saying that I can't live my life just thinking like, oh, come on, you know, like,
yeah.
I've still got kids, I still need to, get my next job. The one thing I've also learned is you never know. Like I was in Fast and Furious 3, Tokyo Drift, mm-hmm. we shot in 2005, came out in 2006.
Oh my God. It's right? not that exactly. old.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And in those, and then I came back in F9, which was, in terms of when it came out, was a good, 14, 15 yeah. years mm-hmm. difference. And in those years, had you asked me, would you be back on the Fast, in a Fast movie? I would have said no, not because I didn't want to, but just because I just didn't think it was going to happen. You know, like, it's already, you know, after how many years
before right.
you start yeah. to go, no, this is it, it's over. So you never know. Like, you just never know. We survived the pandemic and the show's doing well. I mean, if you mm-hmm. look at all the positive sides, the show is doing really well. So you know, I it doesn't matter what I think or feel, it's out there now.
Yeah.
So I hope this is not, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from not watching it.
But you're right. When the news came out that it was moving to Netflix and, you know, that HBO had canceled it and it's moving to Netflix. I mean, I was stunned and I just kind of started to go into mourning because it yeah. was so like, what does this mean? What does this yeah. mean? We've worked yeah. so hard from day one to yeah. you know, to
yeah.
support
yeah.
this show. And absolutely. Now what does this mean? I don't yeah. you know.
Yeah.
So I can't yeah. even imagine what it was like as a cast member.
Yeah, I was like, we're just fans. So,
you know, this doesn't change my life any great shakes if it doesn't get picked yeah, up. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I think it makes sense.
You have to emotionally protect yourself. You have to have those boundaries and yeah, this is exactly. your life. It's not, it makes sense to find that way, that balance of mm-hmm. hope and realism.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
And that you have to move on. Yeah. You're an actor, you can't taking a couple months or years off.
Yeah.
You know, give me a call and blah blah blah. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Then when the show does get picked up, because it will, right? Please, it will.
Yeah.
And you've got all this cast and crew that mm-hmm. have now booked more performances, and more things that they're doing.
Yeah.
So that oh my God, producers are gonna earn their nut trying to get that scheduled.
Yeah. So this is actually one of the issues, you know, also with the way the streaming services work now. It's like okay, let's just say tomorrow they go, you know what, great, yeah, let's go for another season or whatever. It's like getting the team back again.
Yeah,
it took us 18 months to get us back, you know, when they greenlit season 3,
right?
So like, it's already, you know, April of 2024, so you're gonna get everyone back again, everyone's scheduled, because people move on, people have to work. And
yeah,
and for me personally, I actually, you know, I'm on another show now,
which I'm desperately trying to find.
Yes.
How can I
it's not out yet. It's called 1,000 Blows.
Yeah.
It'll be on Disney Plus or Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And I think it'll be out, yeah, so it won't be out until end of the year, I think,
because IMDb said it was released like last February or something.
That's weird.
So
yeah,
I'm looking all over for it. I'm like,
that's true.
What is this mysterious place this is showing, you know?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
now I feel much better that I'm
so it's not out yet, and so I have options on that show, right? So that means you know, if Warriors were to come back, they would have to, you know, arrange at least with me my schedule with that show. And And then, of course, everyone else. Like, there's, yeah, we've got exactly. a big cast. We've got a big, you know, crew. And so who knows? Who the hell knows? But
you did it once. Yeah. You can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Because we can't just leave Young Jun dying in the street. That just
is not going right? to work for me. I know. Yeah. Wow. What a scene fight. That was.
That
fight, that whole fight. That fight, we worked hard on that one. We you know, when we first got on to Warrior in season one, doing our first fight scenes and working with the team, and then getting to that final fight scene, I think that final fight scene in season three was really a culmination of like all those years of working together, building a trust, the writers, the stunt team, you know, Brett, Chan, you know, us as actors. That was really almost the most collaborative experience I've ever had, you know, where we brought all those elements in. You know, sometimes you defer to the stunt team, sometimes you defer to the writers, sometimes you defer to a certain actor. But this was really where all of us came together. We really talked beat by beat, you know, blow by blow, you know, what was going on. And Chen and Andrew and I, we just was like, look, this is it. You know, we need to leave it all out in the field. We need to speak up. We need to, you know, rehearse the fucking shit out of this, you know, mm-hmm. and make sure that, because, you know, oftentimes these fight scenes in a way they're kind of rehearsed in bits and pieces. So you might meet with the writers and directors and you read the script together and you go, these are the ideas. They may then speak to the stunt coordinator. The stunt coordinator might then create it. And then, you know, the stunt guys will then coach us and then we learn and then we might give our feedback, you know. But this was really like, no, we as the three actors, we like, no, we're owning this. We're going to rehearse the hell out of it. We're going to bring everyone in at the same time so we can see and go through each beat. Because a fight scene is only worth its salt, like, if you feel something.
Yeah.
And so, or at least it means more, you know? And so, yeah, it was a really an amazing collaborative experience. And I suppose that's why, like, if we don't go for season four, you know, I feel like at least we did our very best, you know, for better or for worse. And it was a really great experience. And, you know, working with, you know, Andrew in the rain, you know, like, I'll never forget that experience. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was funny because my mom, who lives in London, visited us in Cape Town, and she saw that fight scene being shot where, you know, we're coming out the door and we land in the rain and it's just me and Assam. And, you know, I came in during one of the breaks. My mom was very concerned. You know, she, you know, one, it was cold, I was wet. And she's my mom, right? And, you know, she's, you know, seeing me getting beat up and is, are you really getting hurt? You know, and I'm like, no, mom, I'm fine. And then I could see she was really upset. And I said, what's wrong, mom? She goes, he's like, do you die? You know, because she hasn't read the script, you know? And I go, I don't know. And I looked at her and I was very sweet. I said, mom, are you sad because you think Young Jun's dead, or are you sad because you think I don't have a job anymore? And then she goes, oh, just so sad. but of course, you know, we cheered it up, but, you know, mom, it's not real, it's all good. But it, you know, at the time, the funny thing is, at the time when I said that to her, in my head I was laughing because it was cute, and one, I wasn't getting hurt because, you know, I was a bit cold maybe, but I wasn't getting hurt because, you know, we're fake acting. And, you know, we're practicing, we're acting. But I was also laughing in my head because I was thinking, oh, mom, you don't know. We're doing season four in about 6 months' time. That's my head.
I'm like, oh, man.
Don't worry, mom. I got a job, you know. No, was I wrong?
No, mom's a bit of a seer, no. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, no, it was a great, it was, you know, it each, it's, you know, it's interesting because I go online and I sometimes read what people say, and you know, people who really love the seasons, people that, you know, have some issues with it. And going back to what I said earlier, it's like each season is its own thing. You know, I think like if we get another season or more, you can almost then look at season three in context. Whereas now it's like, wait, this is where we end? There's a, you know, so anyway. Yeah.
I mean, it at least it felt, it's not where we wanted to end by any means, but it did feel like an ending.
It did feel like an ending, right?
Like it felt like a, I mean, this is a fucked up ending, but it's an ending. It's not the one we'd want, but like somebody came out on top, I guess.
And the brother and sister are back together. I mean, right, like in a way
they're a bit broken. You know,
but yeah, you know, like, see, episode one, season one was he lands in San Francisco, he's looking for his sister. Yeah. Well, end of season three, he found her, you know. It's like,
and then you got Joe Taslim walking out like he's in charge, yeah, you know.
Oh man, you know what? For Joe Taslim,
and then we
alone,
have
we need a season
cut
four.
To the train station.
Yes.
I'm not so sure that Joe's on top.
Yeah. When you watch that scene again at the train station, do you notice that Zing is always there in the background?
Oh yeah. Like I noticed it when it was going on. I'm like, I don't like this. Who's that guy over there? I don't like this.
Who's that guy over there? Yeah. You're like, mm. Yeah.
So good. So I mean, like, it's an ending.
It's an ending.
It's just, you know.
We're hoping it's not the ending, exactly.
So tell us about the show that's coming out on Disney Plus or Hulu.
I shot two seasons back to back of a show called 1,000 Blows. It's a new show that'll be on Disney Plus. I believe in America it'll be on Hulu, maybe. I think Hulu is like Disney, right? Anyway, I'm not sure, but I think it'll be on Hulu. But it's a Disney Plus show made by Disney Plus UK, and it's from the creators of Peaky Blinders.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in the same time period as Warrior, actually, 1800s, late 1800s, but in London. Like Peaky Blinders, it's there's some real historical characters that are in the show who, obviously, it's dramatized and, you know, it's fiction. But based on real people, and it's set in the world of this sort of the underworld of East London, grimy, you know, Spitalfields, East London, and in the world of bare knuckle boxing, and you got all these characters and thieves and, you know, all that kind of world, and so we shot two seasons of that, and the character that I play is literally the polar opposite of Young Jun.
You know, interesting.
Like,
okay.
Young Jun is the life of the party. This guy I play now on this is a sort of a mild-mannered intellectual person that doesn't want to be seen so much. You know, he's in fact, you find out that he's in hiding and he gets involved with some of the other criminal elements in this world. And it was a really fun show to shoot, get to shoot in London, because it was a great, great cast, phenomenal cast. For me, you know, like, although most of my career I spent it in America, studied there, trained there, worked there, you know, the first time I got the acting bug was when I was in school in England as a kid. And so, you know, to finally all these years and decades to come back and actually work on a British production and work in London was in itself a whole trip as well. Yeah, so I think originally it was slated to come out in October, but I think it's now coming out later in the year or early 2025, and I have no idea. The street, like, again, going back to the streamers, they make all the rules, so yeah. I have no idea. But we did shoot two seasons back to back, and then we're supposed to go back for season 3 and 4 in 2025. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? Who knows? Well, who knows?
British shows do tend to have a little more loyalty to their productions. So
yeah, you think right? You hope so. So yeah, we'll see. But okay. But yeah, so working with, like, you know Stephen Graham. Incredible actor, and then so many good actors, really top notch. Yeah, quality. You know, you pick up the script and you can feel it. You're like, okay, this is quality. You're in good Great. Hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. Then we look forward
to seeing
that. I'm excited. Once I saw that cast, I was like, ooh. I'm watching for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people who
will do anything. Yeah.
A lot of people who Americans might not know their names, but they'll recognize them.
Yes,
exactly. Like, oh, yeah, that's exactly. That's that British person in that show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So, really good cast.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, I know that we needed to keep this shorter.
Oh, yes. What time?
You gotta get back to your
kiddos. So. I can go till 10:30.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. If you have any,
Well, just I guess we'll just wrap with, like, do you have anything else, other upcoming projects you want to talk about, or anything like that that you can tease?
So 1,000 Blows will be out on Hulu or Disney Plus end of the year, and then
any sort of dragon things, anything dragon related.
Dragon related.
No. Did you enter into anything with dragons?
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. No. I'm not. Wait, am I not picking up a clue here?
Enter the Dragon. That's on your upcoming projects list.
that one.
Be water, my friend.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. So that one has been delayed. So actually, I don't even know. But recently, I've been offered a role in a film, and it sounds very promising. And I haven't actually read the script yet, so I can't confirm or deny anything yet. But I know the people involved, and it's like a really cool little film, and yeah, we'll see. That might be something next year as well. But as of right now, I'm really just full-time dad.
Yay! Nice.
I spent 10 months filming 1,000 Blows. So just to be home with the kids and stuff is like truly not a religious person, but like a blessing.
Yeah.
So I'm just enjoying that because, you know, it's one of those things as an actor, right? Like, as soon as you're done with the project, you're unemployed, and then you go through that whole, like, oh God, I'll never work again. And so I need to remember that, like, right now I need to enjoy my time with my family, because as soon as I get the next call to go somewhere, I'm gonna feel so gutted again to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got to enjoy both sides of this game.
That would be hard. I can see that.
Yeah.
I get that. Okay. Well, I think that's all I had. Deb, anything to wrap for you?
No, I just, what else can we do to make sure that Netflix is listening to us?
You know what? Word of mouth. Yeah. Word of mouth. Just keep, you know, I think, like, I don't know I don't have any special insight. But I think you can't argue with people just watching it. I mean, that's it. Truthfully, I might annoy a few people by saying this, but I don't even care where you watch it anymore. You know, like, you want to download it, go right ahead, because I'm not making another pen. You know, like, do it. Just watch it. You know, wherever you get it, watch it. Tell another friend.
Tell everybody.
Because that word of mouth is far more valuable than any particular streaming number. And you know, dirty little secret, none of us make residuals off this show. So, you know, Netflix and HBO can stream it for the rest of the, for eternity. And we're not
even from HBO. Oh,
God, that's such a crime.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Netflix was screwing people over, but
it's one of the reasons
I didn't realize HBO was doing that too. Wow.
So, you know, mainstream away, you know, get the numbers up, but if you don't, then get it wherever you can get it and just tell some friends to watch it. And if you are on Netflix, the whole two thumbs up and all that stuff, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, you heard him. Keep watching Warrior, and
let's make sure that Young Jun dying in the street isn't the last we see of him.
Yes, come on.
Young Jun lives.
I would love, if Young Jun dies, great, but like let's die in a in a blaze of glory. You know what I mean? Let's let him go out.
Not
like,
in the street in the rain.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much again. Yeah.
Thank you for all your support over the years. Really appreciate it. It's really lovely to see you guys. I hope I wasn't a downer today.
Not at all.
I think it's good to talk about reality, you know?
I think
not enough people know how hard this really is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They think it's just easy. Oh, just do your little acting thing.
It's a lot of work. Well, thank you again, Jason. We really appreciate it. Good luck.